Hey y'all, we are Back in the Basket, a weekly, sometimes we do it whenever we feel like, podcast, where we discuss and dissect the best league in the entire world. I'm your host, Wahaj, and with me like every week, it's Kevin, aka Lil Kev. What up, what up?
Hello world.
And it's Richard, aka Richie Rich.
Hi, hi, welcome back.
And also a special shout out to our producer, Mike.
Shout out to Mikey Mike.
So, this wasn't a hiatus, but we're back at it doing a season previews. For this episode, we're going to focus on the San Antonio Spurs, the Utah Jazz, and the Indiana Pacers.
Ooh, exciting teams.
I know. So, who should we tackle first? Should we do the San Antonio Spurs?
Sounds like it.
Our friends in the South.
Our friends down South.
Ooh.
And Lone Star DeMar.
I guess that's his nickname now.
We know what you did this summer, San Antonio.
Tell us.
What did they do?
They added DeMar DeRozan, as Kevin gleefully mentioned. Also, Marco Bellinelli.
The return.
Yes. Jakob Poeltl came over for the DeMar DeRozan Kawhi Leonard trade.
That's amazing. That's good.
Pivotal piece of the bench mob.
Good for them.
Quincy Pondexter was also signed in free agency.
Whoa, what do you know?
Dante Cunningham, another one. Of those journeymen.
Interesting.
They lost Kyle Anderson to the Grizzlies. Manu Ginobili finally retired. Danny Green was, again, another piece in the DeRozan trade. Tony Parker is a Charlotte Hornet now, as we previously discussed.
Weird.
Very true. And, more importantly, they lost one of the best two-way players in the entire league, in Kawhi Leonard.
Am I biased for saying he's the best two-way player?
But what is he? Is he a Toronto Raptor?
Sorry. Kawhi Leonard is a Toronto Raptor. Sorry, this is about the Spurs.
They drafted Lonnie Walker, the fourth, out of Miami as the number 18th pick.
So much hair. So tall hair.
And Chimzi Metu with the number 49 pick. I am sure I'm not saying the first name right, but I've heard the last name Metu. The fans seem to be really high on this guy.
Oh, I haven't seen him play. So.
The comments have mentioned him at least a couple times, so... You know, maybe a good late second-round pick, as the Spurs do. They lost Manu Ginobili, so somebody's got to take his place,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, they'll replace him with another brilliant second-round pick.
So how do we feel about it, boys? How are we going to grade this offseason for the Spurs?
You know what? Even having only about 9 games of their star player in Kawhi Leonard last year, they still managed to make the playoffs. You know, just very close to not being in the playoffs. But, you know, adding a piece like... the fifth MVP vote-getter in DeMar DeRozan, second All-NBA team DeMar DeRozan, you know, adding something like that to a team that was already a playoff-worthy team, yeah, I think that's going to be a big piece for them.
Can I just say it's like, it was just okay? Like, they kind of did what they had to do to get themselves out of a situation that was getting worse and worse, and now they can just go back to business as usual. Like, it's okay to just do that, right?
And they got a great player in DeMar DeRozan.
Yeah, yes, but it also, it's kind of, I don't know, this is just might be how I see it. It just seems like they kind of had to cut what was eating out from under them, so I can't really say if this was an improvement or not.
So you think they're going to be better than last year?
I do, but I also think it wasn't as much of a, I can't really laud them for doing what you need to do.
Right, they had no leverage in that whole situation.
Yeah, that's what I mean.
I still think they got a pretty decent return for what it's worth in the end because of how ugly the situation was getting and how late they kind of pushed it. As the days went by, I'm sure the offers got weaker and weaker, or maybe they just waited around to see the player that they were, you know, that they kind of had the eye for.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm not exactly like ecstatic about this move. But they did pretty well to get one of the, I would say, a top 20 player in the league in DeMar DeRozan.
Absolutely.
And who's still improving, by the way. And he's shown flashes of adding things to his game, even though Popovich clearly said that he doesn't want to change DeRozan and still make him play the way he wants to play.
Well, for sure. They've tried that. They tried that with LaMarcus, and it worked out very poorly.
See, DeMar DeRozan is one of those guys that is very hard to properly rate him. And for that reason alone, he gets rated... It's heavily underrated by a lot of people, like Ben Golliver, for example, placing Clint Capella and Chris Middleton above DeMar DeRozan. But he is an absolute beast of a player, and the reason why he was a second-team All-NBA in a league dominated by guards. He was one of the top four. So I think they added a very, very pivotal piece for them, and they're gonna succeed given Pop's stature as a coach.
Yeah, his reputation kind of speaks for itself. Also, they added enough veteran presence that they kind of lost. So with Kyle Anderson leaving and Manu Ginobili retiring, pieces like Dante Cunningham and Quincy Pondexter don't really scream anything more than veteran presence.
Yeah. But
it's still enough production from Rocco Bellinelli. And they brought on Jakob Poeltl, who's a really good big, and is still very young and developing. So Lonnie Walker, the fourth, is, again, a superb wing, in my opinion. So they drafted well. I'm not really looking up and down the roster. They still have Rudy Gay, who's going to be finally fully healthy, playing his season.
That'll be exciting. Rudy Gay and DeMar DeRozan together again.
Yeah. They're very good friends.
Exactly. So that's going to bring something to the table. And they have good pieces already. So I'm not... San Antonio is going to be better than a 47-win team like they were last
absolutely,
year.
Absolutely, absolutely.
Even in the West.
I say top four in the West for sure.
Really?
Okay, that's, yeah.
Okay.
I'm high on San Antonio.
Yeah, good.
I'm going to watch a lot of the games. I love DeMar.
It's not like you have any reasons.
Well, they come. They're at a good time for watching from here.
It's like your ex, left to another team.
Weird.
So you creeping them on Facebook?
Yeah, weird.
I'm creeping them on League Pass.
Weird.
San Antonio Spurs, creep them on League Pass. That's the tagline. So we're looking at the salaries now, and the situation for San Antonio is they're not in a bad spot.
No.
They haven't dished out any super bad contracts. The top two players make the most money, which is always a good sign for any team. Paul Gasol is still on this roster, which surprises me.
Well, it's to help evolve Jakob Poeltl. Paul Gasol is his favorite player.
His protege.
Patty Mills making 11. Rudy Gay is on contract for 10. Bertans making 7. Bellinelli brought on for 6. Bryn Forbes, another decent piece, making 3. Poeltl is on a rookie deal with 2.9.
Former number 9 pick.
Exactly. Manu Ginobili's
still there?
Well, he's gonna get paid, but he's retired, so he's not going to get paid. Dante Cunningham at 2.4 and Lonnie Walker on a rookie contract.
Till 2023.
Quincy Pondexter, again, at a veteran's minimum. Derek White, another player that the Spurs family is very high on developing. Murray making 1.5 on a really, really good, cheap
very,
contract.
Yeah, very, very nice contract for what they expect of him and what he's shown.
So looking up and down, is anything that really stands out? Any mistakes that the Spurs have made when it comes to giving out money to players?
I actually don't think so. Maybe
I'm not as high on the Patty Mills signing as
really
as others, but I'm not sure if he's really worth $13 million.
Well, don't you think he's a really good spot up shooter?
Absolutely, and an active
defender.
I'm not so sure on the defense
Who's playing point for them now? Is he's
Murray? Murray's the starting
player. Yeah, so he's their backup basically for him, and that's
$13 million for a backup.
I mean, it's
for a proven backup.
Yeah,
I would say
from down under.
He's been there in clutch moments, and obviously he can. Since Tony Parker is gone now, he can impart that wisdom and knowledge down to DeJounte Murray, who will clearly need it. I mean, he's still very young and he has a lot of shortcomings in his game, so.
And he's the closest, I would say, and Spurs fans will have to excuse me for this, he's the closest you'll get to bringing what Tony Parker brought to the floor, but without as much of the hero ball that he showed at times towards the end of his tenure there. But
A very decent backup. So I guess besides Patty Mills, if I were going to say something, I'd be Paul Gasol's price tag is, I think, a little too high for what he's worth with how old he is and his production has gone down. Even though he's a legend, I'm sure that, the name comes with a lot of money. But, again, I'm not mad at anything. Rudy Gay is off the books next year. I mean, he's the only one making $10 million and his production is not as great. But then again, that's something that we're looking forward to is Rudy Gay having a full season underneath him, incorporated in the system now.
Yep.
All right, so we're going to move on to, the questions now.
Yeah.
We haven't talked to the fans in a long time, and we apologize. We're back right at it on Reddit, asking you 5 pivotal questions about your team.
Please tell us.
The first question was, who is your team's MVP?
Who do you expect to be your team's MVP? Top answer, DeMar DeRozan.
Sounds like he's done it before.
Sounds like he's led teams before.
Is it a 1A, 1B situation now with DeMar DeRozan and LaMarcus Aldridge?
It's interesting you say that. The second answer was LaMarcus Aldridge. Third answer is saying DeMar. Edge of the City says DeMar. It'll be close between him and Aldridge, but I think Aldridge will need to step back a little bit after he played Purdue last year. And DeMar will at least make strides as a team defender.
Yeah, I think the workload was a little bit too much for LaMarcus, even though he thrived in it.
Yeah.
Because he clearly didn't want to be the number two guy behind Kawhi.
No, he does well as the number one, and he showed that even in Portland.
In Portland, yeah. He wasn't happy with sharing the spotlight. Yeah, but who do we say? Like, are we? Do you think DeMar is going to be that much more of a focus in the offense, or do you think it's going to just...
I would say so. He's a younger player, very athletic. He's so skilled, probably the best footwork in the NBA. I think DeMar, and I think Popovich will utilize DeMar to his fullest extent. And DeMar, we've seen this many, many times before, especially as a Raptors fan. Every year, he goes into the offseason with some kind of weakness in his game, and he comes back with something added, and he's always been better every single year. So I think under Pop's tutelage this year, he really shines.
And it'll be interesting just because for a long time, Manu was in the two spot was the default like point of attack for the Spurs system. And it'll be interesting how they incorporate DeMar as a shooting guard into that.
Do you think it's going to be one of those things where like LaMarcus is posted on the right block and it's DeRozan on the left, and they operate through that, where you know whoever gets the better mid-range shot, and I hate saying this, will take it. Even though I would say LaMarcus and DeRozan are one of the best, if not the two best players,
mid-range
players in the game. As in, you take a guard who's the best at what he does, and you take a big who's pretty much the best back to the basket, no plug, guy in the front court. So you think this is the ideal situation for Pops to utilize those two players in the best possible position?
I think he's definitely considering it, because we've seen the defensive scheme that most teams are trotting out this year, and they'll dare you to take these twos. And if you have a team and your two stars are proven mid-range shooters, then they're giving you what you want every possession.
DeMar and LaMarcus, that's a great point, because yeah, DeMar and LaMarcus, being the mid-range magicians they are, can you know make the most of the looks that they're going to get with the way the NBA is trending.
That's good. We're going to trend on to our second question, which is, who is the most improved player? And the fans have spoken.
It seems like a consensus answer here with DeJounte Murray. Patrick, not Patrick, says DeJounte Murray, or possibly Derek White, considering he barely played last year, might be in the rotation now. Edge of the City says Murray. He'll shoot well enough from three that defenders can't leave him, and his playmaking will improve. His rebounding and defense will remain excellent.
And Murray's not known to be a three-point dude.
Oh, no. Look at that. We got an interesting answer here. Number two, Rudy Gay. He's healthy and have a full year under Pop. I think DeMar joining the Spurs will make Rudy comfortable enough to come back this season.
I agree with that. I'm not mad at that answer. I think
like he was an elite player.
Yeah, of course.
I like a league where Rudy Gay is not a premier player, but an elite
player. Not this guy. Fucking Rudy Gay, man.
I'm into it.
Rudy. Yeah, I think he's going to thrive. I mean, if he's healthy, he's still a shadow of a player that he was before, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, Achilles injuries are never
but
the best. But
the thing about DeJounte Murray, not blossoming, but just filling out more, is interesting because they do have this kind of quirky point guard that can play defense and get you rebounds. But to add a little bit more kick in the offense would definitely be appreciated.
Spurs don't have a lot of wings on their roster, so Rudy Gay would be very much appreciated sliding into that role. His defense has never been that great. I don't think it's going to be that great this year.
That's true.
But I think at least, because of the position that he plays at and the lack of depth they have, he's going to get to see more minutes.
Well, you're going to need a good wing every night in this year.
I think just to round off the answers here, we have a deep Reddit answer here. Derek White should see the biggest shift in role. That's what happens with our second-year players after they succeed in the G League as rookies. from a talent perspective, we're looking to Murray to show off some new stuff this year. So
I'm gonna just plug in this last answer by Lurker Flash, because his B answer is Jakob Poeltl, and I still have a soft spot for Jakob Poeltl. And if he can show some improved playmaking and just a little bit more physicality, then that would be exciting.
I feel like he's gonna get more minutes this year, and I think given the limited minutes that he had last year, he was still one of the most
efficient, maybe.
Well, shot, you know, rim-protecting bigs in the league. He's one of the best at that in terms of block percentage and per 36 stats. But we'll see how he does.
He's going to a great system with a great coach and a good mentor in Pau Gasol that's going to teach him all the right ways.
And most importantly, what you're saying, time to actually play, and he's not fighting three other bigs for minutes.
Just fighting Pau Gasol for minutes.
No. We'll see how that goes.
His old legs are still kicking.
That's a champion.
All right, let's get on
put some respect on
that third name. That third question there.
All right.
Let's have a look-see.
Question number three.
What are they missing the most?
Tell me what one of the most complete teams in the league is missing.
Wing depth. They're missing wing depth.
Exactly like Wahaj mentioned before. A solid defensive option at the three and wing. As Danny Green, Kawhi Leonard, Kyle Anderson are all out.
Can we just take a moment?
Ouch.
And
rest in peace.
Like, read through that list. That's kind of gutted if you think about
it. Hey, they got Quincy Pondexter.
In a league trending towards 3-and-D wings, they lost all of them. They brought in mid-range magicians.
I mean,
DeMar's going to play on the defensive end, like Pop said. No more. No more shooting, no more mid-range, just focus on the defensive end.
Just get in the stance.
Yeah.
I mean, his name is Double D for a reason.
No. He's never heard that before.
Oh, my God.
DeMar, is that your cousin Defense?
No. That was the Drake joke on SNL, right?
Yeah.
Was
Will
it
Ferrell.
SNL or Will Ferrell? I don't remember.
It was on SNL.
Yeah.
That's look at this answer. Thing we're missing the most, number three.
That's real.
Manu.
That's real. I feel that.
I'm sorry, Spurs fans.
They're also missing an enforcer. You had Steven Jackson, David West, Robert Horry, Dwayne Dedmon. I think they're missing a guy who, according to the fan, he says that somebody who stands up for his teammates.
Have you not seen Jakob Poeltl's mean face?
I have not.
I mean,
do people?
He looks like a baby Blake Griffin.
Are Austrians known to be like enforcers?
Well, I think we stay away from that.
Yeah, we're going a little political. This is not a political show. Somebody said perhaps Cunningham would take on the role for the Spurs. I know Bertans can. Bertans can be an enforcer.
Bertans can throw down. You don't mess with someone who's missing a finger. Let me tell you.
All nine fingers coming at you.
I don't know if this fan is trolling, but this answer is hilarious. Somebody said we're missing the most is Tim Duncan. It's going to be crazy a year since many of the old Spurs are gone, so it would be nice to have the steadiness of Duncan to lead the Spurs.
I mean, that's
Can you get out of the past, my friend?
I mean, I get it, but also...
It's almost 2019.
Yeah, this is not due to 2014. Come on, man. This man has been sleeping for 3 years. He just woke up. He's like, oh,
Tim. He just came out of a Thai prison. Well, is Tim Duncan still leading the league?
He's having that churro nap.
Yeah, but Tim Duncan always hangs around the team, right? So maybe
there's a picture of him in the Spurs practice gear with DeMar in the frame.
Yeah.
So the consensus clearly is they're missing a 3-and-D guy. They're missing a wing and Manu and Tim Duncan.
I mean, yeah, let's just roll it back to 2015.
And David Robinson.
2015, yeah. Like
Steven Jackson.
Yeah, let's get the Iceman.
Robert Horry.
Let's get Bruce
the Iceman
out here.
Yeah.
Like,
hey, we don't talk about Bruce Bowen anymore. They wiped him from existence, all right? As soon as he said something bad about Kawhi, NBA is like, get rid of this guy.
We can't talk about Bruce Bowen.
Even the Clippers erased Bruce Bowen.
Bruce Bowen's been Sam Hinkied.
I feel that.
The league stepped in. They're like, sorry, Bruce. You're an awful commentator. You're out. We don't need you.
I feel
Why
that.
Are you with the Clippers anyway?
All right, let's go.
Wait, the Clippers? That's a franchise?
Let's go with
Jimmy Butler's new home.
Question four. Miami Heat?
The thing I'm most excited for about this team is seeing the new rotations and increased roles for some of the younger guys. White, Murray, Poeltl, Bertans, etc.
I mean, yeah, like, who are we going to see when Pop rests?
Okay, this, I'm going to have to call this out, because Robert Mueller's Fist says, thing he's most excited about
name.
Is DeRozan. spell his name right.
Well,
it's
you know,
DEROZAN.
To their credit, for people who don't know, on the Toronto Raptors subreddit, there's a bot that will automatically correct you if you spelled DeMar's name wrong. Yeah. And since he was just traded to the Spurs, they wouldn't have had time to set up this bot.
They've only had a time to paint a mural, but they can't get his name right.
Before he even got there.
All right. Blow my...
No, I'm not defending it. It's a common... I've done this before.
I mean, my autocorrect sometimes does it.
Come on, developers. Step up your shit.
All right, so in all seriousness, the answer is DeMar.
Seeing how we fare with DeMar and a hopefully healthier team, also looking forward to a season where there's more about basketball and less about deciphering Kawhi's injury emotions.
And groups.
Well, yeah. Speak for yourself. As a Raptors fan, there's a lot of deciphering of Kawhi going on up here, up north, but... Down south, you're right. Let's get DeMar on some HEB commercials.
Oh, that'll be fun. I'm excited for that. I'll throw that in there.
Hey, Gugu.
Oh, shit. His phone went off.
It's okay. This is just leave that part in. So having the whole team play a season together is one of the fans' answer, and I think like that's also a good sign for Popovich because... You know, with all the drama that was going on last year, this is going to be finally drama-free, good basketball. Pop just went through a tragedy in his life.
Yeah.
So
thoughts and prayers out to that family.
Exactly. And more importantly, he's going to be back fully coaching. Maybe his last year, who knows? So he's going to give it his all. Also, LaMarcus made a great jump last. So there's so many things to be excited for. And the young core. And one guy that people don't talk about, I watched him in college, is Lonnie Walker IV. He's a great agile wing who can shoot, who can defend, who's long.
High IQ.
Very high IQ. And the Spurs drafted him for a reason because this guy is actually, apart from having terrible hair, more like Elfrid Payton hair.
It's not in his face. So he'll still be able to shoot.
He does have a one strand that comes down right in his face. Guys. It's like DeMar Carroll-esque.
Just gotta cut it.
Popovich will probably clip it during a practice.
Yeah, you gotta get that Popovich army cut going there.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
All right, so what are the predicted wins for this team?
The predicted wins from Spurs fans. It's top
death,
answer.
Death,
taxes, and 50 wins. 52, 53 wins. Patrick, not Patrick, says. Robert Mueller's fist, 51. Edge of the City only sees them gaining about a game. And he says 48, plus or minus two.
Yeah, so it could be 50.
All right.
55.
Aggie Franchise says 55 wins. I feel this team is hungry and will close out victories much better than last year.
He thinks they got an expletive squad going.
Hungry. Yeah. That's the key word.
There you go.
Every team needs to be hungry.
DeMar was recently asked, how hungry are you, by a certain Mafuzi chef.
Oh, are we talking about Serge Ibaka TV show? Is it a TV show or is it a YouTube show?
It's a YouTube show where DeMar ate worms. Spurs fans, check it out. 48 wins. Difficult Master. Lurker Flash says 47, 16, second round exit.
That's more than we asked for.
Yeah, that's pretty... He has his year planned out. Already, let's see. I think.
40, Spurs go deep in the playoffs.
49.5, plus or minus. Up, over, under.
I want to go up. It's over. Weird. It's weird. Over? Yeah, they need to win 50 games.
Okay.
Because they won 47 last year with no Kawhi. Come on. No Rudy, no Kawhi. I mean, Rudy played last
year. I'm going over on that as well.
All right, so lock it in?
Yeah.
All right.
Lock it in.
Team 2.
All right, well, that about wraps up the questions that we've asked from our fans on the Spurs subreddit. Thank you for all your answers. We appreciate that. And moving on to the next team.
Yeah.
Next team are the Utah Jazz.
Jingles.
Jazz it up. We know what you did this summer, Utah. Tell us. Please tell us what you did. You drafted Grayson Allen with the 21st
Ted
pick.
Ted Cruz.
Whoa.
You lost Jonas Jerebko.
That's fine.
And David Stockton, who
the
is...
The legend. Absolute legend.
Who, David Stockton? Yeah, isn't he his son?
Yeah.
That's John Stockton's son.
Yeah. Undersized. They waived him. The disrespect.
Well.
And they also added Trey Lewis from free agency. I gotta be honest, I don't know much about Trey Lewis. But Jonas Jerebko, man, key piece. Right, going to the Warriors?
You think so? I mean, they do have Joe Ingles, the elite sharpshooting.
They do. Yeah. So, wing. I mean, not
better, Joe better than Paul George.
Yeah, Ingles. I was going to say, Joe Ingles, slayer of Paul George. Yeah.
Playoff P. Playoff P no more.
Yeah.
So when we look at it, they didn't do a lot in the offseason. Like the Jazz normally don't, because they like to
develop.
Yeah, they like to develop internally, and they got a good development coach as well. Right. So with the success they had last year, how do we see the roster heading into this season? Like a major improvement, or are they going to be the same they were last year?
Well, this is the year we see. Or have we already seen Dante Exum? Or is this the year we see Dante Exum?
They paid him $33 million for 3 years. So obviously they see something in him still, even though he's been injury-riddled for the most part of his career.
Yeah.
Signing all the Australians. I'm very high on the Utah Jazz. Given the fact that their young core of Mitchell and Gobert. Gobert is still very young. He just turned 25.
Yeah, as if it...
He was... when Gobert came back from injury, he led the league's best defensive player of the year reigning at the moment. That just goes to show how much of an impact he has in the game. And
also sporting a much-proved offense, which you mentioned to us many, 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 many times.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. I love Rudy Gobert. But also, you know, another year under his belt for Donovan Mitchell. Maybe he can win Rookie of the Year this year.
So, those jokes are going to keep coming. So I think the most important part for this team is the fact that they gel so well together. They play as a unit. They get behind their coach. They play good, solid team defense, which is so hard to beat on every given night. You know, like, they have good weapons. And nobody saw Donovan Mitchell's develop so quickly as he did. So maybe their plans were fast-forwarded because they were like, you know what, we drafted a guy who we're really high on. Maybe in 3 years he can give us the production. But in his first year, he stepped up in the playoffs to beat a good team.
Good? You mean like a great team?
It wasn't a great team. They have Melo on it. No team with Melo is a great team.
I mean,
man, we're losing all our fans in OKC.
Yeah,
right
in Houston.
Yeah, we'll see what happens.
We're losing our fans in Houston.
Yeah,
we have a problem.
Bruno's going to use his beach butt on you.
Hey, OKC is going to be better than it. But this is not about OKC right now.
This is the
now.
Utah Jazz.
It's about the Utah Jazz. And I like what they did. They stood pat. They were like, we believe in this team. We believe in what they did last year. We're only going to go up from here.
My closing point for the Utah Jazz before we move into their contracts, which we will see, is that there are many, many teams that believe, oh, we're just going to trust in our young core. But then they make moves that mortgage that away. Lakers. But so it's interesting. It's interesting that they didn't make anything that would undercut their short-term or their long-term gains, which I think for them is a success.
I think the person they let go was the biggest move, and that really said a lot for who they are, is Rodney Hood. Like, them trading Rodney Hood and keeping Dante Exum was a big move as to who they believe in going forward. That was one guy they were like, even though he was giving them like 18 points a game, they were like, this guy doesn't fit in what we're trying to do here.
Well, and that seemed to work out well for them, because from, maybe I'm out of touch, but Rodney is still floating around.
No, he signed with the Cavs. Yeah. Oh, he didn't really sign with them. He just took the option for a minimum or something.
Yeah, the qualifying option. Yeah.
All right, so now we're going to move on to the salary situation for the Utah Jazz.
Exciting.
How do we look for... Rudy Gobert making 22, Derek Favors coming in at 16, Ricky Rubio at 14, Joe Ingles at 12, Alec Burks surprisingly at 11, Dante Exum recently got paid, 10.6, Jay Crowder making 7, Thabo Sefolosha making 5.2, Ibke Udo at 3.3, Donovan Mitchell on a rookie deal at 3.1,
Raul Neto, draft.
Yes, Raul Neto at 2.1, Grayson Allen a rookie, at a rookie minimum, Tony Bradley at 1.6 and Royce O'Neal at 1.3. This looks like a pretty steady roster. nothing really jumps out except Alec Burks, who was supposed to develop into something better than he actually did.
You know what this roster looks like to me? The second or third seed in the West.
Wow, that's second? You're going that high?
I'm so high on this team. It's so good. Who can score on these guys? I mean, nobody drives into the post Rudy Gobert there. On the perimeter, Donovan Mitchell is actually shown to be a very, very elite defender. And now they also have backcourt pairing, who's back and healthy again, Ricky Rubio. They beat the Thunder without Rubio in the playoffs.
So from a salary perspective, do you hate anything about this team?
Other than the Derek Favors signing, which I'm not so sure about.
Really? You're not into it?
I really do like Derek Favors, but it's been shown that Gobert and Favors aren't really the ideal pairing together.
You can always stagger them, right?
They do stagger them quite a bit. So I think that just in with that concept alone, that it's okay. But at $17 million, I'm not so sure on that contract.
I guess this team could beat Portland. So yeah.
Portland, what is that, like the 8th seed in the West?
I mean, I'm sorry OKC fans, but they might give OKC a run for the money too, as they did last year.
Well, they just seem deeper to me.
They have a lot of just the right pieces to surround around Donovan Mitchell and Rudy Gobert.
Yeah.
Defensively and offensively. Like, on any given night, Dante Exum can give you 12 points, as we saw in the playoffs. Like, these guys can have spurts of, like, just going at it and beating you just with really good defensive schemes. And you can rely on Donovan Mitchell to give you 20 points a quarter now.
Oh, just easy. Hand him the ball.
Yeah, the only thing, actually, if I'm looking at just strictly money, we'll see how it plays out this year, is just how much they're paying Ricky Rubio. Because he's amazing at times for them, but it comes in streaks. And so it's like, are you going to give him the same kind of thing you're going to give Dante? Or like how much you pay him tells him where he is in terms of your priorities going forward. So
I think you pay him. I think Utah pays him because of the fact that his passing skills and his defending are just on, in my personal opinion, on an elite level in the NBA.
And they pair very well with, you know, Donovan Mitchell and Gobert. So
even though Rubio still can't shoot.
Well, that's the thing. On the nights,
much improved shooting.
On the nights when he can shoot, it's like, when you watch Rubio on the nights where he goes off, you're just like, how is this even happening? This is amazing.
All right. So nothing really stands out salary-wise. We're going to move on to our most important segment of the episode, which is the fan Reddit questions. We asked, who is the MVP for the Utah Jazz for the 2018-2019 season? And the clear-cut answer is?
I'm not so sure about clear-cut, but the top answer is Rudy. I had Donovan.
Rudy. This is
by Ed Benz, says, I had Donovan typed out, but I just feel Rudy is going to remind us why he's the best player on our team next year. I think he can be almost as good as Ben Wallace without a jump shot.
God. That's an awful comparison.
Yeah,
second best answer from Butthole Shit Ass.
Bleep that.
Is Donovan. This is probably the toughest question because there's Rudy, but without Donovan, who's our number one option? Ricky Favors? When Rudy gets hurt, because Favors can kind of fill in for him, if Donovan misses time, our offense could be really ugly.
That's very true. I agree. The offense could be ugly.
Very high usage on that team. Rudy Gobert for sure, Eagle Eye 4 says. Next answer, Fire Fistus.
Stop with these names, man. Utah, you got nothing else going on?
This is what happens when you don't use the accounts for your jobs.
I know they're all Mormons up there. What is up with this?
The internet's a scary place, man. Let me tell you.
They do have some interesting names, those Mormons.
This is not a political or religious podcast. Stop.
Disclaimer.
Yes. We're not turning away anybody. So Rudy it's not clear cut, but you know, people like to lean towards Rudy, even though Donovan Mitchell are a really popular figure everywhere in the world.
I think it's because they know that Rudy is the heart of that team.
Yeah, but that's why he should be the MVP, shouldn't he?
I guess so, yeah.
If he's the heart, And then, is Rudy the brain?
No, that's what I'm saying. Rudy's the heart of this team.
Oh, I thought you were saying Donovan is the heart of the team.
No, I think Rudy is the
heart of this team. So, what is Donovan then? Donovan? The legs? The offense of the team.
Yeah, kind of. Rudy is the defense. Rudy's the heart. Yeah, I guess it's better to say that. Yeah. Rudy is the defense of this team.
You know what I mean?
Oh my God.
Wait, how are you forgetting Joe Ingles in all of this?
How can you forget the elite sharpshooter himself?
And Slayer of Paul George in the yeah.
Slayer of Playoff P. God, that nickname was squashed in the series.
Oh my God.
They want me to come off the bench. All right, so the second question we asked them was, what is the team missing the most?
No, it's the most improved player.
Who will be the most improved? And top answer.
No, go ahead.
Is Donovan, who is probably in contention for Rookie of the Year again.
If he doesn't win that, he's going to win the most improved player of the year.
Right? Yeah, oh, this is true. This is true.
I mean, he averaged, what, 20 last year?
He's going to have to hit 30 to win that award.
Start passing. Get assists.
No, that's what Rubio's for.
Fuck, okay.
Come on, man. You're forgetting, like, pivotal pieces for this team.
I don't know.
I like how they all have assigned roles.
We'll get to why in a second, but...
Right. Donovan. He has more will to win than the other guys on the team, other than Rudy, but he has... more room for improvement. I am especially looking forward to his leap in his IQ on both sides of the ball, but especially defensively.
Yeah, this is a fun defensive team to watch.
Absolutely. The number one defensive team in the league. I'm not so sure about that this year, though. We'll see about that.
Exum is the obvious answer here. I still think it will be Donovan, even though fans are excited about Donovan's improvement, wherever there was room, because he was so good. Exum would be my answer as well because of just how talented he is, and he was coming out of college, or out of Australia. And he was injured for so long that the league kind of forgot of how good he was, and he showed that in flashes in the playoffs last year. And I think just based on that performance, he earned himself more leverage, let's say, you know, because people in Utah still believe in the guy.
Oh yeah.
Well, there's a bunch of Utah Jazz fans here saying Royce O'Neal will have the biggest improvement, and that to me is sort of interesting, just because it's the sort of answer I would expect from the fans, because having seen people a little bit deeper in the roster,
they're very high on this guy, yeah. Royce O'Neal. Another answer, Donovan, Royce O'Neal. We got two Royce O'Neal answers here. Argis says, Ricky. Well, I expect him to be seen as the biggest improver, though he did it for a solid half of the season last year. He's developed a jump shot finally, and he understands Quinn's system.
Maybe there is a bag for jumpers.
Maybe he found my secret box of jumpers that I've been hiding for Ben Simmons.
Ben Simmons is still on that scavenger.
Kangaroo Rondo still looking for a jump shot.
Maybe Markel can lead him there, yeah, since he found
for sure.
It. All right, so Ricky, his free agency is coming up, and he still would want to show that he's worth.
That's true.
Even
it's contract year, so players
for sure.
Show their best.
A hungry Rubio, and Rubio wanting a team to be loyal to him is very interesting.
Wasn't he drafted above a certain guy?
Tries_E said Dante Exum might believe in him. So Royce O'Neal, Dante Exum, Ricky Rubio seems to be the answers going
Donovan's
forward
in there too.
All right, so what is the team missing the most now for Utah and the
interesting.
Fans?
Interesting. A ball-handling big. Someone that can play point forward, essentially. We had that in Lyles, but traded him for Donovan. But now I think Niang has the potential to fill that role, but it's a long shot. He could find a way into the rotation.
Do you really need that?
Well, yeah, you don't need that. That's not what your team's going for.
Very few teams have a point forward, to be honest.
James Johnson.
Draymond Green,
Pascal Siakam,
Pau Gasol.
Oh yeah, nice. The Niang is a very deep cut answer, but yeah, I'm not mad at you're a fan for your team and you're rooting for your guys. Well, I get it, but that's not what your team's trying to do. You have one of the best bigs in the league, and you still want more,
and one of the best passers in the league. If
yes, in Ricky Rubio,
so
like,
did you combine them into one player? Ricky Gobert or something.
I mean, it's fun.
Or why can't it be Rudy Rubio?
It could totally be Rudy Rubio.
Okay.
It's like, Dragon Ball Z Fusion.
Yeah, now we're just picking the Dragon Ball Z Fusion. Like,
All right, well, another answer we have is...
Yeah, do you mind if I read this one? Yeah, so let's say a second option. So two people actually saying that they need another primary point of attack for their team, which I actually think is interesting. Because even though Donovan, like we said, is the offense of this team, aside from, let's say, maybe Ingles, who is more of an off-the-ball sort of option for you, you don't really have someone, and unless Exum really steps up there, I think they'll be lacking there.
So who is the guy that steps up into that role of scoring for them when Donovan Mitchell is either going through a rest? No, a slow period in the season where he's not clicking in all cylinders.
So something...
Or maybe, God forbid, he's injured.
Who's your go-to? Rodney Hood that they had prior to... I think... they do have Jay Crowder this year. He seems to play a lot better.
Jay Crowder playing happier in Utah.
He's much happier to play in Utah now.
So. But remember, everybody who leaves Boston is not the same player they were in Boston.
This is true, but now he's also under another elite head coach in Quinn Snyder, and he played like ass in Cleveland. I'm sorry to cuss, but he played terrible in Cleveland, and he came over to Utah and made kind of a resurgence. So.
He's been traded a lot, so that goes to show you that he is one of those players that needs to find the right situation for him to play well. Yeah. Also, Jay Crowder, I think, is more of a defensive 3-and-D guy.
Yeah, like, I'm not...
Rather than a scorer.
I don't see 18 points a night from Jay Crowder.
So that's my biggest question. Who is the 18 points per game from this team, if you had to pick a person?
I think a lot of actions are going to be run through Gobert. His offensive game is evolving.
Mm-hmm.
There's no reason to say that he can't put up 20 points a night. He's routinely put up 15. There's no way that... You know, he's going into his prime. He's just 25, so yeah. I think it could definitely evolve.
Unless they find a way to like have everyone score a bit more, which is like not realistic for any NBA team.
Maybe Dante Exum could, if he's healthy, he can take a bigger role.
Yeah, but I will be impressed and surprised if he scores at like 20 a game. But.
So you know who we're all missing here is Derek Favors. He's put up 18 points a game. You know, for an entire season before.
Maybe that's why they paid him $16
million. Well, yeah, they're going to have to find a way to either have him be just, again, like you were saying, stagger him from Gobert, but then...
Yeah, he's got a great back-to-the-basket game, and...
Second plug of the episode. okay. I don't mind any of those answers. I really will be interesting to see what they do, but Quinn Snyder is a magician, so he will maybe... get four guys to average 10 points per game.
Yeah, for sure. And I'm going to save all my love for Quinn Snyder for the end.
All right, so moving on to our fourth question, which is...
Jazz fans, the thing I'm most excited for about this team is fill in the blank. Number four, top answer from Ed Ben says, I expect our defense to be the only defense in the league below 100. And I'm very excited about that.
Hey, that sounds exciting.
Yeah. Stifling defense. They have the Stifle Tower.
Finally, the nickname made it onto the podcast. I was waiting for somebody to say Stifle Tower.
He's Nobody amazing. Did. Being healthy, knock on wood. With training camp approaching, I don't think we have any real injuries, just like last season. It seems like there will always be the what if we didn't have any major injuries. I think it's about goddamn time we have things go our way in that regard. So he's playing the numbers here. Okay. Hopefully, no injuries.
I'm liking just general positivity as we go into the other teams in here. So this person's very happy to see their whole team play. And what's this? Beating people with defense? That's exciting. That's exciting. I think if you have the number one defense in the league and you can swing that, sure, why not?
Another fan said chemistry. It's funny to say, but the way these guys gel makes me love basketball more. I want to see how well Ricky and Jay do with more time to blend in. Knocking OKC or Houston out of the playoffs will be my finals. I could die happy.
Those would be fun series.
That would be great.
Yeah, honestly. Those would be fun to watch.
I think chemistry on this team, like I mentioned before, it's just so much fun to watch a team playing defense together and, you know, reacting, helping at the right time.
Oh, yeah.
It's just and beautiful
Quinn's
basketball.
Right there in their ears. You know,
exactly.
Guiding them where to be.
That's scary. That's scary to think about.
Just, right in their ears.
Just look at Quinn Snyder's face. Would you want to do that guy wrong? You know?
This reminds you of kind of the way the Spurs played defense for a long time. You know, just a lot of communication. Everybody knew exactly where they needed to be. And that's the beauty of it. You don't find that a lot in the NBA. It's
no, that comes from maturity and not...
And a well-coached team.
Yeah, you know? Not trading everyone away for peanuts.
Argis agrees with you. He says the team's cohesion. These guys are so much fun together and fun to watch. They play as a unit and the sort of beautiful game the Spurs used to play. Ooh. May the system be with you. Mm.
So one more answer was, I expect our defense to be the only defense in the league below 100.
Yeah.
I am very excited about that. I don't know if that's going to be the only defense below 100. I think there's a lot of teams that can keep...
there's one or two teams on
my I would
mind.
Say the Raptors. I'm unbiased, so I can say this. Raptors would be a team that could keep people below 100. And, you know, sorry, Kevin, Boston is always in the mold.
Well, yeah, they're trending towards that.
Golden State won't do that this year. I don't think so. No, I don't think their focus has exactly been defense, even though they were good a couple of years ago, like really good. Draymond would still be there, but apart from that, I don't think DeMarcus would be an ideal.
Yeah, no, I don't think they're aiming for below 100. Like, I'm sure the Utah Jazz are as a point of pride.
But Kevin Durant did say that he never wins. He never gets considered for any of the awards. So maybe he's gunning for that Defensive Player of the Year. I don't know.
They don't see him
working. They need goals. They need goals to motivate themselves.
For sure.
Anyway, back to the Utah
Projected
Jazz.
Projected wins.
Yes.
All right. Top answer, 52. I think we're better than a 52-win team, but not in this conference. Wouldn't be surprised to see us get 48 wins again, though. Interesting name here, Butthole Shit Ass.
Oh,
says,
second man.
54. Eagle Eye 4 says, I predict a 55-win season if we're healthy. Fire Fista says 56. This is slowly climbing up. Absolute Unit. What a lad. He says 51.
That's reasonable.
So let's say 52 wins, over or under?
Over.
If to be a third seed, they'd have to be over, right? For that?
Potentially.
In this conference, so I'm going to take the over. And just because I think just because of the way coaches are, I think it's Quinn Snyder's year. I don't know, I'm going to make that call now.
Slightly over. I would say 55. I wouldn't be mad at 55. But then again, that 50 to 55 range is going to be so tricky. But there's, again, Western Conference, so many teams are gunning for that. Spurs are going to be right there. Maybe even the Pelicans are going to be right there. So it's going to be hard to seed them, as always.
Yeah, can I mention the Lakers?
Yeah. Yeah. Pump the brakes here a little bit. All right. But that's the key stretch. You have to win just maybe one or two more games than your other competitors to just bump you from 7 to 3rd. And that's going to be the tricky part. So I'm hoping they win 55 to get the clear cut, like 3 or 4 seed. Because I want to see them, I want to see good playoff series. And I like it when Utah Jazz are like 4 or 3rd. So we get a good 3-6 or 4-7 match or 4-5 matchup.
Yeah, and you kind of want them to have that home court so that you can see them impose their style on teams.
I agree.
Those fans are exciting too.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. If those fans actually wear the shirts they're supposed to.
Those orange jerseys, though, they gotta go.
I think they have new purple ones now for their city jersey.
There you go.
Let's go. Bring back the Karl Malone Stockton jerseys. That's what I'm talking about.
Hike those shirts up.
All right, so this wraps up our Utah Jazz part of the episode. We're going to move on to our third team, which are the Indiana Pacers.
Whoa, time to pave.
Pacers. Pavers going to pave.
Yeah, Pavers.
Or Team Oladipo.
Oh, Team Pineapple.
Team Victor, Team Feathery.
So many nicknames. So many good players.
Yeah.
What did you do this summer, Indiana?
Tell me.
They added Tyreke Evans in free agency. They brought on Dougie McBuckets from Dallas.
Dougie McBuckets.
Amazing.
Kylo Quinn. Great addition.
Amazing. Great.
Yes. They drafted Jrue Holiday's brother, Aaron Holiday, with the number 23rd pick, a scorer.
Defense.
And Elise Johnson with the 50th pick. They lost Big Al, who was waived. He was getting old. I think Big Al signed in China. Shout out.
Good for him.
Glenn Robinson III, who signed with the Pistons. And Lance Eighth grader Stevenson signed with the Lakers.
He's part of the meme team now.
That's all right.
He's part of Mud.
That's a corny nickname, and LeBron should be ashamed.
LeBron is a very corny. Anyways, we're not talking
about it's LeBron's that. League, so.
Yeah, it's fine. Yeah, I'm sure.
Who's LeBron? That guy that Bojan Bogdanovic shut down in the playoffs?
It's true. We saw that game.
So Raptors fans are still salty. It's a new season, but they still are.
Yeah.
But LeBron's left your conference, so got nothing to worry about.
It's true.
Nothing to worry about.
Bogdanovic.
But still. Victor Oladipo. All right. Let's talk about him.
Let's talk about what they did this summer. Is there anything that jumps out to you that would move the needle in the right direction?
Kylo Quinn is a person who is on a losing team for a very long time and plays I wouldn't call it winning basketball, but he plays good basketball, and it'll be very fun to see him play on a competitive team.
Yeah, he's all about the grittiness. He rebounds, he makes the right plays, and he plays with a toughness and edge that the Knicks didn't really need.
They didn't really need it, and they didn't really want to use, considering their priorities. So it'll be fun to
priorities see. Are being, like, what, losing games?
Yeah, okay, yeah.
So you just say it. Just hold up to it. So he's, like, tiptoeing around it. This is not a Knicks episode. Go hard. They're trying to lose.
Yeah.
Kylo Quinn, you're bringing a winning energy. We don't need that.
He did say, you know, I want to play for something more than a draft pick this year.
Exactly. So like,
shots fired.
I'm happy Kylo Quinn will be on a team led by someone who wants to win, like Victor Oladipo. So
Victor Oladipo is a absolute menace on defense. He led the league in steals. So
you know who's, I think, low-key, or maybe it's not so low-key because they paid him $12 million, is Tyreek Evans. The way he performed in Memphis last year, that is your secondary scoring option.
That's a great option.
Exactly, because Miles Turner, the pineapple, hasn't developed the way that they wanted him to. He kind of took a back seat.
He's been injured quite a bit.
Yes, and that's why you bring in a guy who can always give you buckets, like, I mean, you brought on Dougie for that, I guess.
Yeah.
But Tyreek is one of those guys that, you know, is consistent. He won Rookie of the Year. He still has those flashes in him that could give you 15.
He averages about 40% from the 3-point line. He's a great shooter.
So I mean, Indiana, I like what they did this summer. I'm not.
No, they made some. Yeah, of the best
moves. When you look at that whole team, really, it's a team that can kind of, and if you don't realize it, they'll bury you with threes. Like, it's just
the kind and of Aaron Holiday, another scorer coming out of UCLA. He was higher on my mock draft board.
Really?
I saw him going somewhere like late teens. I mean, I'm not mad at this pick. So again, Indiana needs scoring from somebody besides Oladipo. I mean, you're not gonna have Bogdanovic giving you the production he did.
Hopefully they finally made the right pick with that 22-23 pick.
All right, so we're gonna move on to the salary situation for the Indiana Pacers for this upcoming season. And, Kevin, what are we looking at here?
We're looking at a very, very solid team salary. They're actually 25th in the league in team salaries. Wow. So they're doing a good job for a team that's projected in a lot of power rankings to be in the top six, top eight teams in the league.
Bankers Fieldhouse, wise with their money.
Bankers Fieldhouse. I mean, look at this. Victor Oladipo, granted he did get this contract by Sam Presti, a four-year, $48 million deal. He's getting paid 21 a year.
Well, if his production matches it.
His production more than matches that. That's a great contract. At first, it wasn't considered that, but he was playing with Russell Westbrook. So
we're looking at Thad Young making 13.
Thad Young is a legend.
He is.
Have you seen that that graphic that they had? Players.
The arbitrary stat? Yeah. We're all about that right now.
Well,
Tyreek Evans making 12.4, Bojan Bogdanovic, LeBron stopper, as Kevin mentioned, making 10.5, Derrick Collison, a solid point guard, only making 10, Corey Joseph,
another solid point guard,
making 7.9, Dougie McBuckets making 7.3, Kylo Quinn coming in at 4.5, Al Jeff still in the books, not on the roster, making 4, Miles Turner, very good deal for the next couple of years.
I actually think that the one right below it, so Miles Turner is at 3 million, and then the one below him is Sabonis at 2.6.
Oh, another. This team, TJ Leaf, drafted before Donovan Mitchell.
Oh, no, he was drafted before OG Anunoby.
Oh, sorry, OG, my bad. Making 2.4. I forgot my rookies. Monta Ellis. Wow, he's still in the books, being stretched out at 2.2. Aaron Holiday on a rookie contract, and Elise Johnson, their second round pick. So look at this team. This is so deep.
It is.
It is very deep.
Look how much they're paying Domantas Sabonis.
They yeah, I was gonna say
2.6 million
for Victor Oladipo's primary pick and roll partner.
He's an absolute savage.
That was a solid trade.
Massive.
Like that trade. Actually, Indiana won that by a landslide. I'm sorry, but even though you got Paul George to re-sign with Oklahoma, so it kind of seems like a win-win, but what you got in return and what you did with it, insane. Yeah, Larry Bird wishing like he was still in the office.
Yeah. Well.
Right? Like, I mean, these two players, Miles Turner and Domantas Sabonis, can easily be the future of your team.
Yeah.
And then if you got Oladipo, who's still very young, man, this team can be scary in a couple years. Or even next year.
Even next year. Well, they're close. They're close. So let's see what they have to... let's see what the Pavers themselves have to think.
Who is the team's MVP for Indiana Pacers? There should be no doubt that this is Oladipo, right? Clear cut.
Absolutely.
Victor Oladipo.
Victor the feathery Oladipo.
A two-way guard. They also have, well, the top answer is Victor Oladipo, for sure. The second question is, who is the most improved player for this year? And that's going to be more of a trickier answer because there's so many people upcoming.
Victor Oladipo was actually the most improved player of the year last year.
Yeah, so who do you think it is this year? The fans say it's Miles Turner.
Miles Turner.
Yeah. Pineapple.
Breakout season.
Pineapple.
Miles Turner, yeah. We don't have many answers from
really?
The fans here, but Miles Turner was the consensus from the two fans that responded.
I expect that, but I would also be happy with, again, Sabonis. I just have a fan.
I think I'm high on Sabonis.
Yeah,
I'm really high on Sabonis.
I'm a fan of his toolkit.
So Miles Turner and Sabonis are the answers. The third question is, what is the team missing the most? And I think... well, my answer doesn't really matter right now because the fans have said rebounding and a backup four. They've also said rebounding and a championship caliber point guard and small forward. While Bogdanović and Collison showed they are worthy NBA players, I personally can't see either one of them being the starter on a championship team. I mean, this is not exactly a championship roster yet. It's still developing. The ceiling is really high.
Collison will give you rebounds. I don't know. I think it'll work out.
I think they mean more of a 3-and-D guy. I mean, Thad Young plays really good defense. His shot is wavering a little bit. But that's why you bring on Tyreke Evans, who can play that 2-3 position really well. And right. You also have Darren Collison, who's a solid point guard. He's not a championship caliber, but he's really good.
He's
and Corey Joseph guard. Backing him up, again.
One of the best backup point guards in the league.
So when you look at that Corey Joseph, Oladipo, Tyreke Evans, Darren Collison, that's a good backcourt. Like, right, I don't think I have any problems with that.
They have very good backcourt depth.
They're definitely guys. Upper echelon in the East, for sure. If not top four, I think, in the East.
Four. I would say four.
Yeah. Definitely Washington might break it if John Wall is fully healthy all year. Championship or bust.
Championship or bust.
That's the new t-shirt coming out from Washington. So the fourth question is, what are they most excited for? For the upcoming season. And the fans said, league-wide expectations have again been set low for the franchise compared to what the team players and fans believe will happen. I'm excited for the Pacers to surprise everyone and play above our projections and fight in the East like underdogs.
Everyone likes an underdog, sure.
Another fan said, we are young and have a super fun and interesting group of guys who already have built great chemistry. We're way better than most people think, and we're about to shock the league again next season.
And... transitioning from that, projected wins, you know, they're saying how they're going to shock the league. The second answer we have here is 58 to 62 wins, 2 or 3 seed. What's your take on that?
2 seed is very unlikely, not realistic.
Yeah.
And the 58 wins.
How are they going to take the 2 seed from the Celtics?
Let that one. Just dodge that comment.
Yeah, okay. 54 wins. Second seed in the East. Again, they're leapfrogging the Celtics.
Like, I'm glad they're high on their team. Yeah. I will give them that. I appreciate it. Just pick and stick. But 54 wins is a little too high. I would give them 50. Would you go over or under?
On the 50? I'd say about 50. I think they're going to get about 52 wins.
I would go under just because I've seen them play on the big stage, but I really want to see this team like in the middle of February when we're all exhausted.
People don't give the East the credit it deserves. I mean,
second, that's supposed to be a joke.
Second
Have
seed.
You seen the West?
I've seen the West, but I mean, second seed in the East means they're going to be higher than teams like the Celtics, the Raptors, potentially, the Bucks, the Wizards.
The Bucks are strong this year, too.
Yeah, that's what I mean. So do you see the Pacers being above any of those aforementioned teams?
Like Richard said, fourth seed is very likely.
Yeah, because this is just me personally. I don't see them being above the Sixers, but that's just me.
There you go, the Sixers. So who do you have them above the Bucks and the Wizards?
Not the Wizards, no. I don't think so.
Oh, I might be tight with the Bucks.
The Bucks have a Giannis.
There's a clear-cut upper echelon in the East, which people don't talk about, like you mentioned. I think Celtics, Raptors, and the Sixers.
Not in that order.
Not in that order. And Sixers are like the top three solidified teams in the East, in my opinion. Unless something horribly goes wrong for one of those teams.
I would say Raptors and Celtics, and then another tier below would be the 76ers Sixers and Bucks.
Sure, I'll give you that. Yeah, so the Pacers are right around there. I think they're like knocking on the door when it comes to the fourth seed.
Right.
Yeah.
Washington is just, I think, a tier below.
But in regards to this team, which is what I was saying, like, The games in January and February when we're all fucking sick of all of our teams are going to be important. Like, I want to see what this team is like when they're, like, playing back-to-backs and hate everything.
Yeah, like, you know, when they go on a major road trip to see how this team does. But I'm excited. I mean, the fans are a little bit too excited.
I watched a lot of Pacers games last year, and Victor Oladipo has, like, a will to win that you would not see from
it's
a lot
great,
of people.
Man.
He's amazing.
But is
on
the real
both
question,
ends of the floor.
The real question is he hungry? Because that's what everybody's asking.
Well,
are you hungry?
Yeah.
How hungry are you?
John Wall is very hungry.
Yeah.
He's hungry, man.
He can't spoon feed Marcin anymore. He's going to be spoon feeding himself.
He can't spoon feed Dwight. Hey, don't forget about Jan Mahina.
Right. Why you got to bring Dwight Higgins this? All right,
that's it.
So wrapping up the Pacers section and wrapping up this episode.
All right, everybody, that's it for this week's edition of Back to the Basket podcast. Feel free to find us wherever you get your favorite podcasts, including Spotify, iTunes, and Google. Don't forget to send us any of your questions. You'll find all of our information in the show notes for social media. And if you're on one of our upcoming teams, feel free to check out Reddit and look out for that post there. You know, we'll always have our backs to the basket, but we'll never turn our backs on our fans. See ya.
Bye.